Thank you, Justin. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Awesome. Awesome. Hey, you know what? Last week we began our teaching series called Good to Great. And we began with people's hopes and dreams and how many had great dreams and great hopes and how detailed many were regarding a way to accomplish those hopes and those dreams in their life. However, over the years when I've asked Christians if they had ever considered being great Christians, people many times seem afraid to answer that question. They were afraid that an ambition to be great in their Christian life, which is truly the most important area of their life, seems arrogant somehow. Last week, my comment to that was, when you think about it, what is our alternative? If we're not going to be great Christians, we're going to be mediocre Christians, right? And should we aspire to be mediocre Christians? Is that what our goal in life is? Is it really prideful to want to honor God and live lives that have great faith and excellent work? To springboard us, we use the example of Luke 22, verse 24, and how Jesus handled His disciples when they wanted to be great. It was interesting that Jesus never disciplined them for wanting to be great. What He did was to give them a completely new paradigm about what being great meant. As I went on last week, we talked about us moving from good to great in our Christian life. And the first point of our series, which is that we need to think great thoughts. Think great thoughts. One of the things that I hope you took from last week's message was to pay attention to all of the negative things that we hear. News, maybe our boss is negative, maybe one or two or many of our friends are negative. And wherever this negativism comes from, and if you can limit it, but if you can't, counteract it with positive. An example. This was a discussion prior to last week's sermon that I had with some folks. Because we need to be informed, we can't bury our heads in the sand and not watch the news, for instance. But in my opinion, we don't have to saturate ourselves with the news. News tends to be negative, right? Well, so my thought was, if you watch 1 hour of TV, which includes the news, you would spend 10 minutes praying and reading Scripture. I mean, it probably needs to be around 50-50, but at least it's 10 minutes. For every hour of TV, you spend 10 minutes in prayer and reading Scripture. What do you think? You think that's a possibility? So like if you watch 2 hours in the evening watching TV, watching the news, whatever it was you watched, you would spend how long studying Scripture and praying? 20 minutes, right? So I thought that was a pretty good place to start. And I would challenge you in that regard. But the reason why I say this is because when we hear positive, encouraging ideas, we have positive emotions. When we hear positive, encouraging ideas, we have positive emotions. However, when we put discouraging and depressing ideas into our minds, we end up with negative emotions. And then we ended up with some strategies to help us be successful in doing that. And I know each and every one of you took those home and have implemented them in your life. But today I want to move on to a couple more concepts about moving from good to great in our Christian life. So last week was think great thoughts. And this week we want to focus on reading great books and pursuing great people. Reading great books and pursuing great people. Now, the reading great books, I mean, it's a fairly simple concept, right? It's always good to be reading. Now, I'm not talking about reading your romance novels. That's not what I'm talking about in this situation. Kevin, yeah, I don't want you to read any more of those romance novels, all right? But, you know, it's okay to read fiction. I mean, you know, Paul loves to write fiction, and as long as that's not all you read, I think it's great that you can read some fiction as well. But what I'm talking about are books that have the intention of bettering your life, bettering your understanding. Those are the books that you need, and I believe you need to focus on. One of the things in my Twitter bio, if you follow me, is always be a student. I'm always a student. Always a student. And I strongly believe that no matter where I am, what I'm doing, if it's rocks I'm looking at, whatever it is I'm looking at or listening to, I am doing my best to learn from that situation. Always be a student. It's a good thing, amen, to always be learning, right? And I'm sure by now most of us know and have heard how it creates new pathways in the brain whenever you continue learning. And the difficult thing is the older you get, the harder it is to create those new pathways. It's kind of like that, I was raised in the country, and I know whenever that road, people drive in that same path all the time, what happens to those paths, right? No grass is growing there, right? Sometimes they even drive there so much that the gravel is gone. And you just have these two paths. And it's interesting, going over a hill, all of a sudden you have three or four paths, and then it comes back together, right? Whenever you've crested that hill. I mean, it is so worn. And that's the way the thinking process is in our brains. When you think one way, or however you think, those ways get well worn. And it's easy to think in those pathways. However, learning creates new pathways. It teaches us how to think differently, and that is very, very healthy. They even make computer programs now. You've probably seen it advertised, of ways to help you create new synapses and think about things in a different way. Those are very powerful and positive ways to learn. So it keeps us healthy. Now, some of my favorite books, you probably know one of my favorite books without even thinking too hard. Anybody want to guess? Yeah, the Bible, right? Now, the Bible has some really awful things in it, right? I mean, most of the Old Testament is a story about a people and what happened to those people and, quite honestly, what those people did to other people. And there are some awful things in it. But in those experiences, there is deep, deep wisdom that I can take upon my life. Acts, the book of Acts is the same way. It is a history book, essentially, about how the church started, which our God and Life guys know very well, don't you? Say yes, Eric. We know it very well. As a matter of fact, they're gonna finish off my sermon this morning about the book of Acts. Oh, okay. Anyway, so yes, the Bible is a great book. And matter of fact, it is 66 books that have been put together for us, and we call it the Bible. Much of it is history, some of it is prophecy, some of it is like the New Testament, a way for us to live our lives in a good, healthy, positive way and find salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some other books, which you all may not have heard of, but it's one of my favorite theologians, and his name is Jürgen Moltmann. And one of the books is Jesus Christ for Today's World. And if you would look at that book, I mean, you have to like handle it gingerly because the pages will fall out of it. That is how much I have used it. And there's Jamie probably remembers that there's different colored stickers all over the place, of which by now I've forgotten what most of the stickers mean. But they were important whenever I looked at that at one point. So, I don't know if some of you have heard, well, I know some of you have heard, I hope all of you have heard the story of the prodigal son. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Right? Yeah. Well, Timothy Keller kind of rethought that concept and wrote a book called The Prodigal God about that scripture. It's really powerful. I would suggest reading that book. A book called It by Craig Groeschel, a powerful book. We read that in our, I think it was staff. The staff read that book. Some of you may have heard The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. That is a powerful book. The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. Anybody heard that book? Yeah, it's a great book. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. How about Dave Ramsey and The Total Money Makeover? Can I get an amen on that one? Yeah. Now, if you would like to see some of the books that Justin and I think are game changers, is what I've called them, go to our website, firstchurchwarsaw.org, click on resources, and there'll be a drop-down menu, click on books, and you'll see some of the books that Justin and I think are important and have been important to our life, and we offer those to you if you are interested in those at all. So great books sharpen your mind, impassion your heart. If you feel like your heart's just kind of blah here lately, right? Reading a good book is a good way to find that passion, to fire up that passion in your heart again about life. Great books sharpen your mind, they impassion your heart, they develop your skills, and they heal your soul. All right, the next thing is pursue great people. Pursue great people. Now, the picture of this spiritual truth is taken from 2 Kings. If you want to write this down and read it later, 2 Kings 2, verses 2 through 10. And it's a story about the great prophet Elijah. And his ministry was coming to an end, and his student's name is Elisha, with an S-H. All right, I hope this rings a bell to some of you. Now, Elijah would keep telling Elisha to stay behind, and Elisha's response was, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." That story may ring true to some of you in your memory. And Elijah responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." And Elisha remained until the chariot came and took Elijah. And Elisha was given a double share of his spirit. That is a great picture of an important spiritual truth. Do I keep dropping out? I feel like sometimes my voice goes away, and maybe it's those synapses that I was talking about in my brain that are doing that. We have been staining at home. You never know how that stuff affects you. All right. So, that is a great picture of an important spiritual truth. So, now listen to this. Let me read it first. Who we choose to follow will determine to a large degree who we become. Now, many of the youth and the children in this church are going, "Oh my goodness, I've heard mom and dad say something like that." You know, if you keep hanging around with those folks, right? How do you finish that sentence? Yeah, right? Who we choose to follow, it's literally true, will determine to a large degree who we become. If we want to be great Christians, we need to pursue what? We need to pursue great Christians. So let's read this together. Who we choose to follow will determine to a large degree who we become. If we want to be great Christians, we need to pursue great Christians. Does that make sense? Say amen if that makes sense to you. All right. I didn't hear any youth say amen, so they must not agree with that. No, seriously, it is true. It makes no difference if we agree with it or not. It has been proven over and over and over again. And there are examples of this throughout the Bible. Joshua with Moses, Solomon with David, Timothy with Paul, just to name a few. And you might be saying, "Wait a minute, Eric, there's somebody else that's even more obvious than that." And it's about these men, 12 men and several women that followed Jesus for 3 years, right? They observed his works. They listened to his words. And the point is, God puts great people in our lives so we can learn from them. God puts great people in our lives so we can learn from them. But you need to consider, it's not just a spiritual dynamic. It works in every area of knowledge and life. History is full of people who connected themselves to great people and eventually rose to their level of maturity. You can probably think of people that you've read in history about that have done that as I'm talking about this. A master's ceiling can become his disciple's floor if the disciple knows how to absorb the lessons of the master's life. God has ordained relationships as the primary medium for learning. So before you choose, a simple fact of human nature is that we will begin to take on the attributes of the people we spend the most time with, good and bad. And how many times do I have to restate that sentence before you catch on this morning? The Bible is emphatic that we are shaped by the company we keep. So here are a couple things that will help you find some people. First of all, look in your rear view mirror. What does that mean, Eric? Well, identify those few people who have influenced your life in positive ways, in permanent ways. And so you look in your rear view mirror to find those people who have had influence in your life, positive influence in your life. The people you will always remember because they inspired you and taught you about life. I hope you're thinking about some people as I'm talking. For me, I mean, Mom and Dad, of which many of you know Mom and Dad, they are huge in that with regards to my shaping. And I wanted to read something that was sent to me by a former student of Dad's. Dad and Mom taught school for 35 years. Mom was junior high science, and Dad was high school science. And so now you know why I'm a little off. But listen to this. This just came last night, and I thought, how awesome is this? God is so amazing. And this is a former student who now has a daughter graduating from high school. He says, as I get told to go to bed by my daughter as she's hosting about 50 to 60 kids on our deck with her graduation party, I flash back to my graduation nearly 28 years ago. Every young person needs someone to believe in them or at least give them some confidence for any hope of success after high school. For some, it is their parents. For others, it may be friends. But mine was a man still residing in Stanbury, Missouri, Mr. Dirks. I will never call him Jim because I'm not worthy, and only Mrs. Dirks did that. Mr. Dirks took some extra time and lifted up a skinny 6'5 kid and began building up his confidence. I was on track to be average in school and average in life at best. But for some reason, that man lifted me up and started saying crazy things like college, scholarships, and future. Mr. Dirks led by example, but in a discreet way that was never overbearing. First and foremost, he is a Christian. There is one way to do something, the correct way, and honesty is non-negotiable. A man who I strive to emulate and have never lived up to. His loyalty was to his Lord, his beautiful wife, two amazing daughters, and his son. But he found time for me. Here's to you, Mr. D. I love you and am so thankful that you saw something in me that I didn't know was there. Folks, it makes a difference. What you do in people's lives matters. You teachers out there, when you think your job is thankless, there are kids that you are changing for the positive. Amen. I mean, Dad turns 80 this year. It took 28 years for that letter to come. Look in your rearview mirror. Identify those few people whose influence in your life is positive and permanent. Amen. Another person that was influential in my life was my grandmother Mackie. We would sit, play cards a lot whenever I was really young. And she was a fifth grade teacher and became a principal. And she dated my granddad for 15 years because teachers couldn't marry in her day. Right? I had a professor at Northwest who had her as a principal and said, no one messed with Mrs. Brown, right? And I heard so many stories. And you know, around the dinner table, whenever you have high school kids, sometimes the conversation goes in a particular direction. And she would have been in her 80s, and she'd always say, "Oh, Lordy, it's getting down to brass tacks in here. I got to go to bed," right? That was my grandmother. Another person was Reverend Glenn Wiggs. Some of you have heard my stories about Glenn Wiggs and maybe not even have known it. One thing that you might think is funny is he would tell me, I was still in school, and he would tell me, "Eric, sometimes Sundays come around every 2 days." Right? And I tell you, when you're preaching every week, I swear Sundays come around every 2 days. That is the way it is. You've heard some other things. And quite honestly, a lot of why Jamie is the way she is because of Peggy Jean Bates Wiggs, which is his wife, and her example for a ministry. Once you have identified these folks, whoever they are for you, then look out the front window. You hear what I'm saying? So you've been looking in the rearview mirror. You've been figuring out who it is that's been influencing you in the past, what kind of person that is. Now you look out the front window and you have a better idea of whom to pursue next. You can look out and see the people that God has placed on your horizon. Amen? Knowing that He put some of them there to mold you into the person He wants you to be. So, pray earnestly. Take initiative. Start in your relational network. Think about those relationships that you have that are good for you. Ask for help. Persevere. Make time in your schedule to do these things. And remember, think great thoughts. Read great books. And pursue great people. You will be shaped by all three of those. Let's pray. Holy God, we give You thanks and praise for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the thoughts that You give us. Not those negative thoughts that the world tends to give us. We give praise, God, for the thoughts that You give us. We thank You for all the great people that write wonderful books. We give You praise for the great people that You place around us so that we can emulate them, so that we can learn from them, so that we understand what it means to be a great Christian, God. Help us make You proud, Lord. Help us. Give us strength and courage to follow the right people. Help us, Lord, to glorify You in all that we say and think and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.